Lord, because we know that you have rescued us from death, you've given us life, you indwell in us, you have delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us, as was said this morning, into your Son's kingdom. Nothing that we are or do is simply natural. And our prayer today, Father, is that your transforming power, your Spirit, your great grace would touch, heal, restore, and bless every person in this room without exception, regardless of age, regardless of their place in their faith right now. We pray, Lord, that you would visit in a very special way, Lord, amongst your people as you walk among the candlesticks here. Blow on the flames, quicken our hearts, bless us, Father, powerfully, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. Jesus told the disciples, be careful how you hear. And I want to encourage you this morning to be very careful how you hear this morning. Be attentive. Be diligent. Be sensitive to what the Word of God is communicating and what the Spirit of God wants you to learn this morning. Be careful how you hear. Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgives our iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. In this verse, in this passage, I'm exhorted, don't forget all His benefits. Don't forget all His benefits. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. Don't walk without them. Why should the believer hobble through life on crutches when God wants him to fly? You understand what I mean by that? There's no sense living a downtrodden, defeated life when God has declared these things to be mine. That I am forgiven all my iniquities. Now, today it would be great if you felt so inclined to respond to God in a verse like that. To know you have been forgiven all your iniquities. And for you to be so joyful, so happy, so amazed, so encouraged, so elated, so out of control, blessed out of your socks. God has forgiven you all your iniquities. Don't forget that benefit. Amen. Don't forget that benefit. He heals all your diseases. Now, somebody's going to automatically say, whoa, wait a minute. Well, I'm just reading the scripture this morning. Do whatever you want with it. But I'm telling you today that the Bible says something about my sicknesses, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to believe God for it. He can heal any disease he wants. I don't care how far along it is. I don't care how minor it is. I don't care how major it is. Now, at this point in Israel's life, there were curses and diseases and plagues being placed on all their enemies. And what this is really saying here is this, that the result of the curses of God aren't going to touch you, and those plagues are not going to touch you. But aren't we surrounded today by the plagues and curses of society? And I believe with all my heart this morning that God wants me to walk in an expectation. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about walking in the expectation. I expect God to do certain things. I expect Him to. Why? Because I have some arrogant control thing about God in my life? No. I expect certain things from certain people. Why? Because that's how they are. You know? I could look at each one of you today and I know I can expect certain things from you. Why? Because I know you. I know who you are. I know what you're like. I know what you like. I know what you dislike. I know how your personalities are. I know some of the things that drive you. I know some of the things that excite you. I know some of the things that hurt you. I know some of the things that are holding you back. I expect certain things. Why? Because I know you. Well, I have an expectation of God. I know how He is. Why? Because He tells me who He is. And He's never lied about who He is. I expect God to heal me. Why? Because I've seen Him do it. I know He can do that. Now, will He do it every time? No. But can He? Yes. And has He? Yes. So how am I going to live my life? Am I going to be like one group that totally dismisses the miraculous and say, well, that's not Frederick, God doesn't do that? Or am I going to be like the other group? It happens all the time. You just have to have faith. Both those groups are wrong, because both of those make God subject to their beliefs instead of allowing God to be sovereign in what He says He is. Do you understand what I mean by this? He forgives our iniquities, heals all our diseases, redeems our life from destruction. See, you don't have any problem with having all your iniquities forgiven. You don't have any problem with your life being redeemed from destruction, but you have a problem with God healing you. You believe the two around it, but you won't believe the one in the middle of it. Why? Why can't I believe God to do incredible things? Why? We see it. Well, God can do incredible things with money. God can do incredible things with the church. God can do incredible things with forgiving people. God can deliver drug addicts from drug addictions, sex addicts from sex addictions. He can deliver people from all kinds of things, but He's not going to heal. Why? Oh, because that doesn't happen anymore. See, because that doesn't fit in my little God box. Yes, I believe there's a box. It's a doctrine box. But you know what it says in that box? He heals all my diseases. And just because He didn't do it yesterday doesn't mean He's not going to do it tomorrow or even today or even right now. Now, we had messages and meetings many years ago. I was in one meeting where the Pastor Warren got up and started talking about this verse. And he said, I want you to believe all the Word of God, because every word of God is pure. Man should live by every word of God in Matthew 4:4. Every single thing God says is true. And you get a little tired having to balance everything all the time. Well, yeah, I know there are some groups that go way off the deep end with this. Our dear friends, the Charismatics and the Pentecostals, they go nuts with this. Everybody should be healed all the time, no matter what. You know, without any process that God is working in their life. Sometimes we are in the school of darkness. Yes, 1 Peter 1:6, we're in the trials and we're going through things and God leaves us there for a bit. But that's not all the time. And I'm not there permanently. That shouldn't be a permanent condition of my faith. At some point, God's going to draw me out of that darkness. At some point, God wants to deliver me from that darkness. At some point, and I don't know when that point is. See, it's not for me to decide. It's not for you to decide. It's for God to decide. And I can trust Him and believe Him because His Word says that. We had a meeting, Pastor Moran was talking about this once, and he said, I want you to believe that. And he said, who believes that for something specific today? And about 30 people raised their hands. And one of those people that raised their hands was a guy named Jim Chamberlain. And Jim Chamberlain put his hand up, and Pastor Moran said, Jim, come down here. Jim got up and walked down the middle aisle and stood right in front of the pulpit. And Pastor Moran said, Jim, do you believe God wants to touch your body today? Because Jim had arthritis through his body like nobody's business. And Jim says, yeah, I believe God can do that. So let's pray. So we prayed. Jim went back to his seat. Next morning, I pull into the church parking lot. I pull up next to the church office door. I see Jim Chamberlain's car is parked there. So I pull over to the right of the car. I walk around the back, and there's a pair of feet sticking out from underneath the car. I look down. It's Jim Chamberlain. I said, Jim, you all right? He popped up. Started moving his hands. He said, I haven't been able to change my own oil in years. He was changing his oil in the church parking lot because he lived next door. I couldn't believe it. Isn't that sad? I couldn't believe it. But he could. I was shocked. But he wasn't. He said, I knew it as soon as Pastor Moran read that verse, it was my night. And he went home to be with the Lord. Probably, I don't know, 10 years ago. But he died without arthritis in his body. Because God wanted to show him something. That His Word is true. That's what it's about. It's not that we want to turn miracles into idols and make a big deal about everybody being sick. God just wants to demonstrate. Listen, everything I said is true and anything is possible. How many of you believe that today? 3 people. That's good. How many of you believe anything is possible? God can do absolutely. Put your hand up high in the air. Make the declaration like it's a baptism. I want to understand this, but I want to believe it and I want to know it and I want to see it. Because the world today, listen to what I'm going to say right now. Remember I said listen carefully? The world today does not need a natural church. We don't need a church that just has good marketing. We don't need a church that just has nice buildings. We need a church that believes God and knows God, and walks with God, and trusts God, and sees God, and has an expectation of God, and walks around like, I know my iniquities are forgiven. I know God heals my diseases. I know He's delivered me from destruction. That's what the world needs to see. No one's going to get saved by a natural church. No one's going to come to Christ in awe of what natural people have been able to put together because of some religious notions. The world is tired of that. People are tired of that. And frankly, I'm tired of that. I don't want to live my life like that. I've never wanted to live my life like that. He redeems your life from destruction and crowns you, listen to this, crowns you with loving kindness, crowns you. That means your royal place in heaven is one of grace. Your royal position is an unchangeable, powerful place, and you are the recipient of the loving kindness of the King, and you're His prince and princess. He's crowned you with loving kindness and mercy. That's who you are. Walk around like that. Walk around like that. Walk in that expectation. Walk in it. Here's one I don't have a problem with. 5. He satisfies your mouth with good things. No problem there. He feeds us every day, gives us not only our daily bread, but feeds us our daily bread every day. God is capable and willing to feed His people every day. He feeds His sheep every day. He's forgiven you of all your iniquities. Say amen this morning. Shout hallelujah. He's forgiven me my iniquities. Wow! They're gone. See, it's not just words to me. I'm not just a Christian by word only. This excites me. This fires me up. This excites me, and it's revolutionized me since I was 16 years old. I was so incredibly amazed when Daphne told me, she said, Jerry, every sin was on Christ. Every sin. Every single sin was on Christ. Now, how many are going to be here on Mother's Day? If you're going to be here on Mother's Day, raise your hand. Put it up high. Be here on Mother's Day? Good. You're going to meet Daphne. She's coming on Mother's Day. She's going to be here, and the day we're going to figure out, I think she's coming Saturday. We're going to do something Saturday night. And then Sunday morning she'll be here. She's going to testify. She's going to talk a little bit. She's going to tell some stories, and she's going to embarrass the daylights out of it. But it's amen. I know it's going to be a blast. And she's as fired up about Christ today as she was 40 years ago. She hasn't changed a bit. It's nuts. You know why? She believes Psalm 103. You know, Jeff was here Wednesday night. Did you see how excited Jeff was? And see how that energy? See, God wants His people to borrow that kind of energy. Sometimes I don't have that kind of energy. He wants me to borrow that energy from the preacher. You know, borrow that excitement. Listen, you don't have your own faith right now. Borrow some of mine in a message. Adopt some of it. See, be careful how you hear. That's what that means. Be careful how you're. Could you be sent on the mission field? Could we send people on the mission field from here? Yes, of course we can. Of course we can. Can marriages be reconciled that are having struggling? Yes, of course they can. Can drug addicts come here and get delivered? Of course they can. Oh, is there any question? Can the sick be healed? Of course they can. Of course they can. But walking in that expectation, you know, I love what it says in Romans, that those who walk in that kind of hope will never be disappointed in God. That's what it's, I'm paraphrasing Romans 5:5. But those who walk in an expectation of God's goodness, you'll never be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed. Even if I walk in an expectation that God's going to heal and God takes somebody home, I'm still not disappointed. You know why? Because I believed God. And I also believe that when God doesn't, He's got a far greater plan than what I can figure out with my puny little brain. But that's true with everything, isn't it? Isn't that true with your job? You pray for a job and you don't get it, you don't walk away from God. You pray for something, you don't get it, you don't forsake the assembly, you don't forsake your Christianity. You say this, you say, you know what? Maybe it wasn't God's time right now, but there's a far greater plan. Romans 11:33 says His ways are past finding out. He is infinitely wiser than I am, and His ways are past finding out. Why don't I apply that to everything? Why don't we walk in that with everything? Why don't we walk through our sickness with that? Why don't we walk through accusations with that? Why don't we walk through all kinds of difficulty through those things with that expectation? And with that understanding. Yes, I will believe God and I will pray for healings and I will pray for miracles and I will pray that God does things far beyond our natural capabilities. Why do you think He gives the church gifts? Because the Holy Spirit has to do that. We get nowhere naturally, nowhere. You understand that? So the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. God gives those gifts to people. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Why? Why don't you just let the church naturally do it? You got gifted people, talented people, smart people, wealthy people, musical people. You don't need the gifts. Just do that. No. No, because the church needs a supernatural emphasis. God needs an expression of Christ in the church that goes beyond our personalities and natural talents. Hello? That makes sense? See, we don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. I believe, yes, God wants to do those things. God is, because God has established gifts for the church, and that word for gifts is pneumatos, or pneumaticos, depending on what you look at. It literally, it's almost like a pneumatic tool, right? You take a hydraulic wrench. You ever see this hydraulic wrench when you get your tires changed? Does it real fast? That beats doing this, doesn't it? You ever try to take a tire off with an adjustable wrench like this? That's what the church is like when they're not trusting God. But the pneumatic tool, you pop that on here, off comes the tire. And what's amazing is when it's in the hands, it's when in the hands of a specialist who knows how to use that pneumatic tool, they can change a set of tires in like 30 seconds, send them down that right back on the racetrack again, right? Those teams, right? That ought to be the church. No, you know what we got? We got a bunch of old crusty guys. They come out there. Okay, let's have a committee meeting about how we're going to take the tires off. Argue about what wrench to use for a couple hours and then table the whole thing for a month. Come back a month later and take one tire off and then decide the pastor should be fired. Why? I don't know. Let's just get rid of him. And then that's the church today. Instead, you know what ought to happen? Car comes in, four guys come out. Okay, God bless this time. Amen. All the time, put the news on. Off the thing goes. Off he goes. That's a church functioning in its gifts. With people who are gifted people that God is moving on and they trust God. That's the group that trusts God. Committees. By the way, that's why there's never been a statue dedicated to a committee. No statues dedicated to committees. Find me one somewhere. Get right on it. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul. See now, be careful how you hear. Remember, in 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now we're going to see it again. We're going to see it here. My soul. You know what's being shown here? That you, through the Spirit of God, have been given control over what goes on in your soul. And you speak into your own soul. And the Word of God penetrates my own soul. I'm going to make myself available for God, penetrating my mind, penetrating my soul, penetrating my emotions, penetrating my motives, penetrating my will, penetrating my conscience, penetrating my self-consciousness, all that stuff. The five parts of the soul. God penetrates all five parts. Wait silently for God alone. Now, it doesn't mean be alone and wait for God. It means wait for God, just wait for Him. Right? Trust Him. He's going to be the source. He is going to be the one. He is going to be the one that empowers. He is going to be the one that moves us. He is going to be the one that does it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He who calls you. He will also do it. Right? Then this verse in Psalm 62, verse 5 says, and my New King James says this, for my expectation is from Him. That is a great translation of that word. It's not just hope or grounds for hope. But the grounds for hope means that the basis for everything I believe, it's my expectation. Do you have an expectation of God? Do you have an expectation of God? What can we expect from God? I'm going to tell you some things we can expect from God. We may be here for a little bit. It won't be too long, but I'm going to tell you what they are. I'm going to help you this morning. Because that's what I do. I'm supposed to anyway. Two women, elderly women. One of them had terrible leg issues. And her friend said, we need to pray for our area. We need God to raise up somebody to do something here. This area is dead. Can you relate to that? Seriously, this is dead. So she got up every morning and walked many times in the wintertime. Dr. Lewis said 5:30 in the morning. She would walk down the road with her sore legs to her friend's house. And they began to pray. Those two women praying every morning grew to five women praying every morning. And then someone got a call to a church in Woolwich, West Cassett, Maine. And there was, Dr. Lewis describes it, and one of these days, next time he comes, we should have him tell the story because he does it so much better than I do. These people were coming. They'd go out in the afternoon and meet a group of people, and sometimes, like he told one story, there was a group at the time, in the 60s, hippies. You know what a hippie is, right? Drug smoking, drug doing, long-haired, non-washed hippies. They would come in. He'd start to win them to Christ. There was a group of them that came in, 30 or 40 of them. They came in, and they sat on a floor. There were plenty of chairs. They sit on a floor while the pastor preached. Pastor David Moore was one of those hippies. There was a whole group of them that came in, and many of them are serving God today. How'd that happen? Someone's natural gifts? Somebody's marketing skill? No. Somebody expected God. Somebody believed God. Somebody asked God and then waited for God and saw God do something. These people started coming from all over the place. There were folks traveling. Dr. Lewis said people traveled 2 hours to come to a service. They started hearing about it, telling their family and friends. People were driving from everywhere to come to this place. Just to hear the word of God and be part of the music. And the guy was not the pastor. For those who have ever seen pastors, he's not an impressive looking guy at all. He was a good preacher, but he wasn't. It was just God. God just did this thing. He just did this thing. And it grew into a Bible college and a Christian school and going into hundreds of places all over the world in a very short period of time, 15, 20 years, they were in all kinds of places. Within 5 or 6 years, they had a team in Ecuador. Then they had people going over to France. Then they had people go to Finland. The 20, 30 churches planted in Finland by these guys. And it was all the result of these ladies praying. And people believe in God. There were folks like Ted and Faith Clark. They sold their home and moved. Pastor Brown and Nancy, wasn't Pastor Brown and Nancy at the time. He's in his 70s now. He's in South Berwick. He was the pastor in South Berwick many years. He's the pastor emeritus, and Pastor Anthony is there now. But Pastor Brown, same thing, sold his home, moved there. People were making all kinds of sacrifices. This kind of faith, this kind of trust, this kind of expectation from God. God just honored it and believed and blessed it. What are some things that you and I can expect from God? I'm going to give you a little list here, okay? First thing I can expect from God is His presence. Hebrews 13:5, He'll never leave me. Hello? He'll never leave you. When I go over there, He is. When I go over here, He is. No matter where I am, there He is. I go to Africa, He's there. I go to Utica, He's there. I go to Rome, He's there. I go to Seneca Falls, He's there. Doesn't matter where I go, He's there. Why? Because He said He'd never leave me. You know what? I can expect Him to be there now. So now I don't have to be afraid to go over there because He'll be there. I don't have to be afraid to get in an airplane. Why? Because He'll be there. I don't have to be afraid to get in a bus and go somewhere. I've been asked to go to Georgia. I'm not going to go. But go down. Why? Because He's there. I could go. He's there. I'm not afraid to go. He's not led to go. That's another thing you can expect from God, right? He's there no matter where I am. He's in my office. He's there. So when I expect him to be there, guess how I live my life? Like he's there. I can't do that. Why? The Lord is here. Right? I can expect him to be there. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, save such as have a humble or contrite spirit. See, he's there with the arrogant, but he's near, and he delivers the one with a humble spirit. See? Sometimes we're a little arrogant. He's still there. We're all brokenhearted, by the way, aren't we? God's presence, that's one thing I can expect. Here's something else I can expect from God, His protection. His protection. He's our shield, the Bible says. Psalm 7. Psalm 7, verses 10 and 12. 10 through 12. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. See, God defends his people. He's our defender, and he's our protection. And I will testify to you today, I have been in many situations, some of you have too, where you've been lied about and attacked, and God has defended you and protected you. And there have been times where you've been misrepresented, and God has defended you and protected you. How many would say that have had that happen to them? Raise your hand. I know it has with some of you because I've seen it. And I promise you, it's happened with me. Number three, he will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. Isaiah 41, verse 10, great verse. Fear not, I am with you, nor be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will hold you with my righteous right hand. Sound familiar? Remember the song? Which one is that? I am with you, nor be not dismayed, for I am your God. Strengthen you, help you, cause you to... What hymn is that? Yeah. And I'm with you, no be. Huh? No. Strengthen the help you cause you to stand. Upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. All right. Anyway, there's a hymn. How firm a foundation. I will strengthen you. I will give you incredible. See, I can expect this from God. You know, you're tired, you're weak, you're overwhelmed. You got all these details in your life. He's there. You can expect him to be there. Lord, you know what? I'm exhausted right now, but I'm expecting you to strengthen me. You ever pray that way? Or think that way or believe that way? How about God's leading? You can expect God to lead you. John 10, verse 4. This is what he does. Why can I expect this? Because this is what he does. It's who he is. He's a shepherd. Of course he's going to lead his sheep. John 10, verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him. They know his voice. You know what it means that the Lord leads me? He goes first. He goes first, and you follow him. I love something that Pastor Jeff said the other night. It's so important to recognize when God is creating an opportunity. I'm paraphrasing, but it's so important to be that ready, to be in a posture of readiness, you know? I can't stand it when you're watching a baseball game with the little kids, and the kid's like, pitcher's in the windup and you got it right there, picking daisies. And Josh loves this when they dig a hole in the outfield like this, the cleats, you know. There was one hole in left field that was like this, you know. You get a 6-foot kid in there, it looks like 4-foot two in left field. There's a gigantic hole he's standing in out there. They all stand and dig in the same hole. All distracted, you know. We had this thing, they literally down and ready. What does that mean? The infield is down and ready like this. Ready, right? Okay. Are your hands on your knees like this? No. No, show them. Come up here. Show me down and ready. What does it mean? Yeah. Well, maybe not the glove quite like that, but you got the right idea. Your knees are bent and you're ready. Your hands are in front of you like this, right? Why? Because if you're like this, what is this? I got to move like that. I don't know. You got to be ready to move, and you're on the balls of your feet. And you know what's important to do when the pitcher's moving? You move a little bit too, because movement, you're already moving when the ball's hit. But anyway, that's down and ready. That's preparation. See, that's expectation. I'm expecting God to move. So I'm ready. Prepared and alert for his leading. What else can I expect? That God has a perfect purpose for things. Jeremiah 29:11. And Romans 8:28-29, throw that one in there too. Because the purpose is to conform us to his image. Make us like Christ, right? You can expect that. You can expect, I'm going to grow. God is going to do things in my life that make me like Christ. I expect him to do that. I'm impatient, but you know what? I'm going to grow. Why? Because I can expect God to cause me to grow. You know, I lack wisdom, but I prayed and I expect God to make me a little bit wiser. Why? Because he said he would. If I ask for wisdom, he give it to me. See, his purpose is to conform me to the image of Christ. I can expect him to do that. You know what else we can expect? God's rest. God's rest. Matthew 11:28. Remember? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, I'm laboring, I'm heavy laden. God can give me rest. I can expect rest from God. That God will give my soul rest. We sing it. My soul finds rest in you. But half our church is on anxiety medicine. Why? No, they're not. I'm just teasing. But you know what? Sometimes we are very, very anxious about things, and God wants us to just listen, take it easy. My father used to say this all the time. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. Why? Now that him saying that meant nothing. Because there was not much behind it. Because sometimes if he was saying it and he was mad about it, there would be reason to be nervous. But God says he's going to give me rest. So when God says, don't get nervous, and I'm paraphrasing Philippians 2:5, be anxious for nothing, don't get nervous. Why? Because his presence and his power and his ability and everything he is behind what he's saying. If God is for us, finish it. Who can be against us? Who could possibly be against us? It's a verse in Isaiah 49. I think it's 49:18. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Don't get nervous. We can expect God's forgiveness. We read that in Psalm 103. That's number 8. 1 John 1:7-9 says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So if you've blown it in any way, shape, or form, and you confess that sin to God, God is faithful and just to forgive you. So when you get up off your knees after your confession, put your head up high and expect the forgiveness to be real and walk in it. And you know what? There was the Jews had a little bit of an advantage for this. Because what they did is they'd confess the sins, they'd lay their hand on that scapegoat, and then they'd kill the scapegoat and they'd send the other goat out in the land. See, all your sins are on him, and there he goes, gone. Aphimi, A-P-H-I-M-I-E, something or other. Aphimi is a Hebrew word. It means lifted off and moved out of here and gone. So you pray with a word picture. Next time you confess your sins, you picture them being put on a goat's head or the lamb's head. Off they go, Lamb of God, gone. I'll never bring it up again. When you confess your sin to God, he'll never, ever bring it up again. I can expect that. Because that's what he said. That's who he is. What's your expectation? That's what I want to get at this morning. What are we expecting from God? You know what else we can expect? God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. And remember what His faithfulness really means? It means that God is going to be true to everything He's ever said. If God made a promise, I guarantee He's going to keep it. That's faithfulness. Here's one that I really like. This is Psalm 33:11. We can expect God to counsel us. Psalm 33:11 says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations." The plans of His heart. Look at that. The counsel of God comes from the plans of His heart. I was thinking about this. You know, there's been a couple times in my life where I've literally gotten up in the middle of the night, and I've gone downstairs with my Bible, and I put my Bible open and said, "I'm not going to bed until you solve this problem." And I'll just start flipping through looking for answers. Every time I've done that, God has shown me something in the Word. If you expect Him to counsel you, you'll find His counsel. Do you want His counsel? Do you want to be counseled out of your grief? Do you want to be counseled out of your shame? Do you want to be counseled out of your fears? Do you want to be counseled with your business? Do you want to be counseled with your missions, with your work, with your calling? Then open up this Bible and don't leave until you get your answer. Expect God to speak. Expect God to counsel you. Why? Because He says He will. Have an expectation. And one example of that was I was asked to go to, where was it, Bulgaria? And everyone was kind of pressuring me a little bit. "Oh, you got to go. We need your music. We got to go. We'll sing. You sing with Debbie. We'll go. We'll have an amazing time." And I was excited about it, but Karen and I talked about it. We were in no financial position to make that kind of commitment. And, you know, and I started thinking, am I living by faith? Am I not living by, you know, the whole guilt acrobatics thing you go through. Because I didn't understand the box. All right, anyway. So, somebody said to me, "Just put on your credit card." Think of that for a minute. Have faith, put it on your credit card. Is that the craziest thing you've ever heard? To me, that sounds crazy now. And it sounded a little bit odd back then, so I didn't do it. So I got up middle of the night. I was just tormented by this thing. Because I really wanted to know what God wanted me to do. So I put my Bible on my kitchen table. It's probably 3 o'clock in the morning on Elm Street. I'm flipping through. Proverbs. The borrower is servant to the lender. That's it. That's all I needed to read. It took me about an hour to get there. The borrower is servant to the lender. Am I serving God by doing that? No. I'm going to be serving Visa or whoever it was. Capital One, or I don't even remember the card we had. The borrower is servant to the lender. I woke up next morning, called the pastor. "I'm not going." He said, "Okay." And it was done. I said, I went to the Word of God last night. God gave me an answer. I'm not going. "Okay, great. You're preaching when I'm gone." God's counsel. You can expect God's counsel, but see, if you don't act on that like I did, use that as an example. If you expect His counsel, then open up the Bible and look for it. "Okay, God, counsel me." And you think, now hopefully you're not just going to go like this. As you're learning and you're being taught, you should have some doctrine. You should have some formulated thoughts. Maybe you get your concordance out or something, or your little blue letter Bible, however you do your searches, and look for answers. And then pray, "God, counsel me. I'm expecting You to give me counsel here." And I can expect God's plan to unfold. All things are for your sake. 2 Corinthians 4:15. And the plan of God unfolding before me is probably the most exciting thing you'll ever see. I may not get what I want right now, but I'm going to get His plan. That I can expect, and I can expect this plan to be perfect. I can expect this plan to be without error, without mistake, without shortcoming. So we're praying for something to happen, and it's not happening. Well, it's maybe part of His plan. But I can expect great things from God. And you know, David Brainerd said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Imagine a guy says, you know, I'm a tight wire walking expert, and he never walked out on a rope. You'd say, he's not an expert. Glad you read all your books on walking across a tight wire. You know, I'm an expert, man. I know my Bible backwards and forwards. And I know I know what you're supposed to do. Keep your arms out. Make sure you one foot over the other when you walk across that. I've read all the books on it. I know how to do it. Well, go ahead and try it. Are you crazy? I have my Bible. I know all about prayer. I know I can ask God for help. I've read it right in here. Well, then ask Him. You know, we kind of pick on Peter a little bit, but he's the only one who ever walked on water other than Jesus. Good for him. Forget that he got a little nervous, but he got out of the boat. I don't know, I would have done that, but he did. You know why he did that? At that moment in time, he saw what Jesus was doing, and he had the same, he had an expectation. So he stepped out on the water. Did God let him sink? Because he also expected help when he started to go down. And he got it. Forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103, Gemai. G-H-E-M-A-I, Gemai. Forget not his treatment of you. That's what the word literally means, how you're to be treated. Your benefit. Forget not all his treatment of you. His treatment of me will be forgiveness. His treatment will be to heal me. His treatment will be to deliver me. His treatment will be to satisfy my mouth with good things. All, don't forget how you've been treated by God. And don't forget what His treatments are. You know, in expecting God's leading, I just wanted to read this verse. Not this verse, this this hymn. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I will be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's flowers bloom, by waters calm or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur or repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, and when by grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I will be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Walk in the expectation of God. Get up tomorrow morning expecting God to do incredible things. And I heard one guy say, you know what? I get up in the morning, I expect God to do a miracle by 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, I remember him saying that. I just laughed. I said, see, that's how I want to live my life. Why aren't we looking for God to do this stuff? He's done it all the time. He does it all the time. Why aren't we looking for Him? Now, we're not presuming and making decisions based on what we presume, but we sure can get excited and be looking for the God of heaven, the great God who's faithful, to do what he said he's going to do and believe him for it and walk in it. Amen? All right. Father, thank you for this day today. I pray, Lord, that you would develop this kind of faith over the coming months in each one of us. We know who you are. You've saved us. You are the most important part of our life. As a matter of fact, Colossians says you are our life. So, God, we pray that you would teach us to expect your counsel, your goodness, your faithfulness, your healing, your guidance, your leadership, your forgiveness, your comfort, your presence, all those things, your power. We pray, Father, you would move our doubt out of the way so that we can walk in a real faith, governed by your word, encouraged by one another, and motivated by your love. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen.